What happens when you leave abortion up to the states and then the states go nuclear? Hey, girls and guys, I'm Brandy with an I, and this is Did You Hear the News? What it do, what it is, baby. Welcome back to the show. First of all, I want to say thank y'all so much for rocking with me, holding me down. Had to take some weeks off, had some personal stuff going on. Life was life in, but we back. I did record a podcast episode a few weeks ago that I actually never published. So I have put that episode out with this episode. So if you are listening and you have not listened to that episode, stop. Go out of this episode, play the episode, listen to it first because there are some really important updates there. I do give an update on what you probably have heard is the results for the Fulton County decision and also the hearing for Robert Herr, who had actually was the special counsel in the President Biden classified documents case. So I talk about all of that there. Please go back, listen to that episode. It is titled The Bar is in Hell. Should be some good fun listening to you. Let's get on with the show. As you know, politics and the drama stops for no man, but part of my break, the House and the Senate were actually also on break. So we did get a little bit of rest there. However, they did come back from break. And finally, Speaker Mike Johnson put on his big boy pants and brought to the floor the $1 billion for aid that the Senate had already passed about a week or two ago on their side of Congress that went to the House. Now, if you guys recall, there has been some back and forth about sending aid to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Republicans wanted it to go. They said, let's not do any of this until we have something on immigration, which forced Democrats and Republicans in the Senate to actually put together an immigration bill, only for the former president to be like, nope, can't give Biden a win, don't do it, which made everything fall apart. And then once again, Republicans were like, we can't do aid until we have immigration. And it was just a vicious cycle. So finally, Mike Johnson, after meeting with the president and getting cussed out by a lot of different folks, was like, okay, I guess if I have to, I'm going to bring these bills to the floor. And, you know, of course, Democrats were going to be needed to actually make this bill pass because Republicans only have like a one-seat majority right now. It's very slim pickings, very low numbers. It wasn't going to pass without Democrats anyway. You already had those hardline right wingers like Marjorie Taylor Greene and, you know, those guys who are mad. So, of course, she was like, this will not stand. I don't appreciate it. So she basically started the process to vacate the speaker. Now, she said, I don't necessarily have to like bring it to the floor. We don't necessarily have to vote on it, but this is a warning shot to him. And he was kind of like, girl, whatever. So he brought him to the floor. So he has been threatened with losing his job. Like I said, part of this time they've been on recess. So it appears that they have had the time to either cool off or Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to come back on her BS and actually move forward with that motion to vacate. Nobody knows. I mean, we've already had two speakers this year alone. We'll see what happens. You know, it's not like this Congress was doing much anyway. So let's see if we'll waste our time again. So, as I mentioned, aid for Taiwan, Ukraine, and Israel has been passed in the House, the Senate, and it has been signed by President Biden. Now, what those sneaky, sneaky snakes did, and I mentioned this in the last episode, so if you haven't listened, stop. Go back. Those sneaky snakes snuck in the TikTok ban. Once again, I use ban loosely. It's not a complete ban immediately. It's a force of the sale of TikTok to an American buyer so that China cannot get our data. U.S. can get it instead and sell it like they do all our other data. So they snuck this into the bill, and so now it has been signed. So now TikTok has 1 year to part from its parent company, ByteDance. They do not want to do that. They've already said they're going to take this fight to the courts. Honestly, I want to see how this is going to go. I'm going to watch it because good for them. Like, I get the concern. I understand the reasons they don't want it. I think if a lot of us actually understood the crazy, scary things that China's doing, once again, I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist because I know you guys are going to think like that's actually crazy. But no, like they actually talked about this on the news. And then once again, I'm going to say that and some of y'all are going to be like, you can't trust the news. Okay, like you got to trust somebody at some point. But the point is that in China, they have capabilities in which they can get your face, get all your information, just like they do on their own citizens. And if they get your background information, your data, like they can find out all your information. They can know when you come in and out of China, like all that information. And so that's a big problem, especially if you have people who are doing U.S. intelligence or are spies, things like that. And like I said before, in China, if they were to request our personal data, those companies owned out of China, they can't say, no, we're not going to give that data. They would have to. And so that's part of the concerns. Apparently, Congress has been briefed. I don't think they've done a good job of actually explaining the reasons why they feel like TikTok is a danger, because all I see are conspiracy theories about how they're trying to shut TikTok down because you guys are getting all of your good news from there. I love y'all, but I just want y'all to know everything on TikTok is not the truth. Just like everything on internet is not the truth, everything on TikTok is not true. And part of the issue with TikTok is while it is a good way to spread information and things that are happening live, it's also a very good way to spread misinformation as well. And we've already seen that here in the U.S., you guys do not know. And I say you guys, all of us sometimes, could do better, but mostly y'all. Some of you guys are just not good at parsing information, at trying to find out who the sources are, why that source would be interested in something going one way or another. You guys don't look into any of that sometimes, and not all of you, because I know once again, the internet also has to make you give those caveats. So some of us are not really great at taking information and parsing it through and asking questions and being critical thinkers and all of that. So in that way, TikTok is also not helpful, but I really don't think it's because the government, you know, doesn't want you guys to see how fast children are dying in Gaza. I mean, I'm sure they don't want to see that. They don't want you to see that maybe, but it's not why they want to get rid of TikTok. For the most part, somebody somewhere, maybe a Marjorie Taylor Greene or somewhere might be like, oh, no, they're going to find out about the Jewish space lasers. But I don't think that's the main reason. Like, there are legitimate security concerns. Best of luck on that. I know that makes people really upset because some of you are super duper obsessed with TikTok. And I totally understand it. And I totally get it. And free speech is a big deal. And I think people should not be obviously, you know, punished by the government for free speech, but also this is not what's happening with TikTok. So love y'all, mean it, but like, let's stay informed. Anyways, moving right along. As you know, the former president, he's in the news. He's always in the news. He makes the news. He's what news craves and lives off of because they know they can get views and clicks for all the crazy things that he does. So he's been dominating the news as usual. And what is so funny is he had been pressed often about what his actual stance is on abortion. Because if you recall, he was all like, yeah, like Roe v. Wade was overturned. And that was like a really great thing that I did because my Supreme Court justices overturned it. And then suddenly now he's running for president and he sees how totally unpopular that is. He's all like, what? I mean, but like, if y'all want to have abortions, like maybe for some reason y'all can do that. Like, I'm not super against it. I'm just not for it. But, you know, do what y'all want to do. And the people are like, no. We need a complete stance on you about abortion. And someone asked him, he's like, yeah. Don't worry that like my stance is going to come out on Monday, which is probably just something that he said just to be saying it. And then suddenly everybody was scrambling like, oh, my God, we got to make up an abortion plan. Don't worry, because the very grand, wonderful plan that this man has is to once again allow the states to handle it. That was his plan, right? He was like, don't worry about it. I got Roe overturned, but that's not a problem because just live in a state in which they do abortions and you're fine and everybody's good. Just let the states handle that. And Arizona was like, bet. Hold my beer. Not to mention the fact that nobody believes that. Like he said he would not sign an official abortion ban. And if you believe that, I got some property in the Caribbean to sell you, because we already know that as soon as an abortion ban hits his desk, he's going to sign it. He doesn't care that he was able to get all his porn stars and, you know, affair partners abortions back in the day and probably still would today. That doesn't matter to him because he has money. It's not going to matter to any of these conservative people with money. It's only going to affect black and brown women, poor people, you know, things of that nature. So anyways, he said, let's send it to the states. And Arizona was like, we'll do you one better. We'll show you how it should be done with our state. We're going to enact an abortion ban, a law that was made in 1864. Now, if you guys are not familiar with 1864, and why would you be? It was decades ago, centuries even. This was before Arizona was even a state. Okay. Slaves were not even seen as people. There was not even a constitution. And this is the law that they decided they want to be the abortion law for their state. A law written by a man who was married to a child bride and had three child brides that we know of, 15, 15, and 12. How admirable. A law that had no exceptions for rape, incest, life of the mother. We already see how great those exceptions are going anyway. So, yeah, completely shocking Republicans once again, who are begging you guys to just pretend that the overturning of Roe v. Wade didn't happen so that they can win elections. Now, this is off of the news out of Florida, in which a judge ruled that basically the abortion law that they have in place, I think it's the 6-week abortion ban, can stay. However, they are able to put it on the ballot for November for people to vote on. So, oh my God, now the Biden administration is like scrambling. They're like, oh my gosh, this is perfect because now we might have a chance to win Florida. And I'm like, hey guys, don't get too excited, but sure, like try it. You know, put some effort and some energy there. Former president, he don't have no money in his campaign. So you guys are ahead anyway. Go ahead, try it out, see what happens. They're also looking at North Carolina as well. I think there's also going to be an abortion initiative maybe on our ballot here. And then they're also looking at Arizona, because once again, now that this Arizona law is the thing, they're like, how do we swoop in and get these voters? And Republicans know this. They're like running around pants and hair on fire because they were like, now this is bad. Like, this is bad. Like, we might have been able to get away with 15, 16 weeks, but this here is bad, bad. A law from 1864, like I think everyone knew that that was just, it was no bueno. So they started scrambling, right? The House actually repealed it just recently. The Senate has not been so lucky. They have tried, I think, or maybe the House tried. One of their bodies of Congress actually tried and it was shut down twice to repeal it. But the House has now repealed it and it's kind of up in the air in the Senate. So honestly, I think once again, they would need like maybe two Republicans to come on board with them to help repeal that law. That's the thing, though. Mainstream Republicans are like, this is terrible. And then local Republicans are like, what? We like it. Y'all didn't like it because we liked it. Y'all don't like it. So it's just a mess. It's a scramble. I think abortion is going to be another big thing on the ballot this year, like it's been in all the past midterms, the past few years since Dobbs was overturned and Republicans just pooped the bed because they had no idea what to do next. They weren't ready. I guess they just thought it was a fever dream and it would never happen. And then it did. And they were like, crap. What? We didn't even know they'd have the courage to do it. Now we have the courage to do nothing. So that's where we are in terms of abortion and abortion law. Not to forget that the Supreme Court last week also heard oral arguments on a case, Idaho versus the Biden administration, in which Idaho feels as if you're pregnant and your pregnancy is killing you. We should first look at what other organs you could lose before aborting a pregnancy. That's not exactly what they said, but that's what they said in so many words. Basically, it was like they were arguing that it's not enough that your body may be going into kidney failure because you're pregnant. It's like, girl, you can stand to lose a kidney. You'll be fine. But we got to keep this baby alive. And I don't have to tell you that that sounds insane. Like literally, Supreme Court justices were arguing with, or they're basically hearing arguments that you don't need to abort your baby because you can stand to lose some of those organs. Like which organs do you feel like are worth your baby? That's basically what it was. Like they said, it's not enough for you to be dying. It's not enough that the pregnancy is killing you. That's not enough reason to abort a baby. Whereas the Biden administration is arguing like, hey, there's not any other reason of which we would turn down medical care for somebody whose body is actively shutting down. So why would we treat it differently just because she's pregnant and it's a pregnancy that's killing her? Like, why would we not give care? We have a duty to care. That's what doctors have, a duty to care. Why would a doctor not care for someone who's dying just because it's maybe the fact that they're pregnant that's killing them? Like, that's crazy, right? But you had lawyers literally arguing for Idaho, that was Indiana. It was Idaho or Indiana, and I should know this. I apologize, you guys. But literally a lawyer arguing that, you know, a woman going into kidney failure or sepsis or like her heart stopped, you know, shutting down actively, that's not enough. So basically that's to say, and that's why I say restrictions or exceptions, they don't matter, right? Because if you say, okay, the exception is the life of the mother. Okay, so who determines what's a real risk, right? Like if one doctor says, hey, like her kidneys are shutting down and that's something that can kill her. And the other doctor's like, nah, she can make it. She might be a little jaundiced, you know, like it's about who's going to say that the baby should be killed because this lady's dying. And who's going to say this lady's dying, but maybe we should save this baby and see if she can make it too. That's where we're at. as a country. Okay, so just keeping y'all up to speed so y'all understand where we are as a country. Speaking of the Supreme Court, they also heard arguments about whether or not the former president is totally immune for any and everything that he would do as a president. Now, I said this on Facebook and I'll say it again here. I want you guys to hear me when I say this. It is, if you have the chance, if you can go back and listen, if you have the patience, if you are just not into torture porn like me, go listen to the Supreme Court oral arguments, okay? It would allow you to see two things. Number one, how pretty darn good the attorneys are who are arguing for the Biden administration. But also how ridiculous that some of the justices will allow themselves to look just so that they can like rule in favor of the former president. And I say that because you will be listening and you'll be hearing an argument from Trump's lawyers that sounds ridiculously insane. And you'll be saying to yourself, that's absolutely nuts. But then you'll literally hear a Supreme Court justice twisting themselves in pretzels. And when I say themselves, I mean of the six, not the three. And you know who I'm talking about. Twisting themselves into knots, trying to make that foolishness work. Okay? So, as I explained to you before, because these guys use the exact same argument and they really kind of couldn't stray from it because it had gone so mainstream, but they use the same argument they used in front of the appellate court, which was that the former president needs immunity. If he doesn't have immunity, how can he do the job? He's always going to be worried about somebody coming behind him and suing him. Not to forget the fact that we already have protections, like civil protections for the president under law. But that's neither here nor there. These guys want you to believe that if the president doesn't have full immunity, that means that when he leaves the office, anybody who has an axe to grind with him can just decide to get a lawyer and file ridiculous, frivolous charges against him, and he'd be tied up in all kinds of legal cases. So they say he should be able to do whatever he wants to. And if he does, for any reason, break the law, which he would never do because he's the president, he's an honorable man, psych. If for any reason he breaks the law, that's what impeachment is for. And then once he's impeached, then he can go to criminal court, which does not make any sense because if you recall, Mitch McConnell said when he chose not to convict former President Donald Trump, that just because they didn't convict him in the Senate didn't mean he couldn't go against criminal charges. Now we have lawyers literally arguing that now he can't go. He can't be met with criminal charges for what he did while president because he was president and he should have full immunity as president to do anything he wants to do, including, and I'm not lying, this is exactly what they said. I told y'all last time and they said it again. He should be able to kill his political opponent. And if he's not impeached and convicted, not face criminal charges. Now, stay with me here, okay? Let me give you an example you might understand. President Biden is in the Oval Office watching the TV, and he sees Donald Trump spewing more ridiculous lies. And he goes, gosh, I hate that man so much. I just pull his muffin back, blue. And so he calls up the Secret Service or the SEAL Team 6 or whoever and says, hey, Take them out. And then he packs up the White House and leaves because he's done with his presidency. And nobody knows. Or they do know, but he's no longer on the job. He's a private citizen now. And because he wasn't impeached and convicted, he can't go to jail.
Does that make sense to you guys?
That doesn't even make sense. And then you got to think about, it's like, y'all are arguing this, but you're not even thinking about the fact that if that's what you're arguing now, you're not in office. There's another guy in office, which means you're actively arguing that he can do this right now to you and not go to jail, which is ridiculous because you knew that if he did do it right now to you, he'd be in jail. And you'd love that for sure, but he'd be in jail where Donald Trump should be. So everyone knew that this argument was crazy. It was crazy when it was made the first time. It was crazy the second time it was made. That's why most people were like, why are we even having to do this? Why are we even going to the Supreme Court? Why are you even wasting our time? Why did you just not send this back to the trial court? Why did you just not say, hey, we're not going to take this? Like, it seems pretty straightforward enough. Presidents aren't immune to everything. But no, they not only took up the case, but they took up the case in a way, and I knew this was going to happen. They took the case up in a way that the case could go back, be remanded. What does that mean? Remanding the case means sending it back to the lower court. And that's after listening to the arguments. And this is why I say listen to the Supreme Court arguments, because you'll also likely not be confused when the Supreme Court releases their opinions, because you kind of can tell how they're going to lean. And so from this one, most legal scholars have said that it looks like they're really leaning towards, and this is those four, and you know what four I'm talking about. Those four guys asked questions in which it seemed like we can't say that the president has immunity because we've already said clearly that we're only talking about official acts. And we also know that the lower courts did not rule on the acts that are official in opposed to the acts that aren't official. So guess what? Supreme Court gets to basically say, and this is probably what they're going to do. Okay, well, no, like, obviously he doesn't deserve immunity for everything. And he might have immunity for official acts, possibly. But we've already confirmed that some of the acts here in which he's charged are not official acts. So now it has to go back to the lower court so they can pick out what are official acts and what aren't. And then it's just more time for the former president to not be tried, to not be found guilty before the actual election, because we all know that it's very likely he would be found guilty in that case. Like, please. That's one of the strongest cases. We knew it was likely he was going to be found guilty. So it's just another ploy for them to hold the clock for him so that if he does happen to win, he can just get rid of the cases, which we all know that's what he's trying to do. He doesn't want to be president. He didn't really like the job. He hates having to do work. He really didn't like to get up early in the morning. He doesn't get up early in the morning. He hates the job as a president, but he's only doing it because it benefits him and none of us. So remember that when it's time to vote. But the point is, listen to the Supreme Court arguments. You'll understand why it's so frustrating. You'll understand why you can't just sit here and say, oh, this happened on Biden's watch, because the Supreme Court is really doing anything they can. And by Supreme Court, I'm talking about six. Y'all know which ones I'm talking about. They're doing really anything that they can to help this guy out. And it's like very sickening. I mean, it was either Alito or Gorsuch. I think it was Alito. Oof. He literally said during the arguments, well, we're not talking about the stuff he's been, like, accused of now. We're not talking about the facts of this case. We're talking about in the future. And it's like, why aren't we talking about the facts of this case? The facts of this case are very specific and they should be thought about in the decision that you make on this case. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The Supreme Court felt like they had to take this because there's not a clear answer. But then on top of that, it's like they're still not going to give a super clear answer because they need it to be foggy for the former president because that helps him. And that's what they're trying to do. And I hate to say it, but I feel like poor Justice Ketanji Brown, and I know that's probably not a sentence she hears often, but poor her, because she is such a brilliant legal mind. I mean, to listen to her sit and question witnesses and stuff, it's just, you just be like, oh my gosh, this lady is like a genius goddess. But she's on a court that is basically a clown show. Made a clown show by the former president and her colleagues. And it's really not her fault. There's nothing she can do besides continue to be great and continue to call out the hypocrisy during the oral arguments and hope, just hope, that somebody at home is listening and knows that she's doing her best. But 6-on-3 ain't never going to be no fair fight. It just ain't never going to be no fair fight. So anyways, that's what's going on with the former president's legal case in front of the Supreme Court. He was very, very, very pissed off about the fact that he could not attend the Supreme Court for those arguments because he's in court for criminal law. So let's get to it. As you may know, and you may not, because you might be a person with a life. The former president is currently undergoing his criminal trial in Manhattan for the Stormy Daniels hush money payments. Now, I'm a victim of this too. I do it as well. I say the hush money trial, but this really is not a hush money trial. It is technically an election interference trial, similar to the type of trial in Georgia, except it's not RICO and it's, you know, got to do with campaign finance law violations. So the issue is that the former president, when running for president in 2016, worked with the owner of National Enquirer, which is a column. If you don't know, if you've ever been in a grocery store and you've seen those little newspapers that are at the checkout that talk about Bat Boy and the most ridiculous rumors you've ever seen. Yeah, that one, that publication. So Donald Trump was really cool with this guy who owned that rag, as they call it. And he was involved in what they call catch and kill. So his catch and kill means I buy a story and then I just bury it. So nobody ever hears about it. It doesn't see the light of day. Like, I catch the story and I kill it. And so because this guy was such a huge fan of Donald, like, he really loved him, he liked him as a candidate, he wanted him to win, he would post salacious, bad articles about Hillary Clinton, but no negative articles about Trump. And I guess once they caught word, you know, sniff that out, they were like, hey, let's see if we can get him on our side. And he was more than happy. So basically, this guy, his name is David Pecker, he has been testifying all last week. Actually, he basically testified for like 3 or 4 days, basically about the scheme that went underway. So let me back up again. Once again, like I said, this is an election interference trial just because of the fact that the Stormy Daniels story, in which we found out that Donald Trump was having a short-lived affair with Stormy Daniels while Melania was either very pregnant with Barron or like right after she had just had him. And I think it's the latter. He had a few rendezvous with her and he knew that that would have not be a great story to come out for him. So what happened was the story needed to be killed. And the way in which he did it is could be seen as campaign finance violation, is because he made payments to her, but the way that they were recorded in his logs or whatever, you know, his documents, was as lawyer fees, which is not true. They were for the purpose of his campaign so that they could bury a story, which is technically seen as a violation because it's not transparent, and everything that you're doing as a candidate is supposed to be some way, somehow transparent. And I mentioned this before on here. I think when John Edwards went to jail for something very, well, I'm sorry, went to court for something very similar, he was able to get off because he said, oh, no, no, I only did that because I was worried about my wife. Because if you recall, John Edwards had an affair with a staffer who got pregnant while his wife was fighting cancer. And so he said, no, 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 I didn't do that, you know, for the purpose of winning. I did that to protect my wife. She found this out, you know, it had just been terrible. So that's why he was able to win his case, because they were able to corroborate that he really was just trying to, you know, save his family's face, per se, and not give up, you know, the details because he didn't want himself to get elected or something like that. Here, not the case. Not the case. We all know Donald Trump does not care about Melania. Not the case. He only cares about himself. So that's the point that David Pecker was brought in for. So everyone believes that Michael Cohen is going to be a star witness in this case. And that is could very well maybe. But because Michael Cohen is so flawed, he already went to jail for lying for the former president. And we already know what they're going to say. Oh, he's a liar. You know, he can't be trusted. He went to jail for lying. He's got an axe to grind. He's upset with the president. He, you know, all this stuff. Bad blood. They fell out. They're no longer cool. That's why you can't trust him as a witness. So basically what they're trying to do, and it's very genius, it's very smart, they're trying to set up all the details and have them corroborated before Michael Cohen gets on the stand, right? So that everything that Michael Cohen says is going to be corroborated either beforehand or after. Because the point is that they're trying to make is that we're not just relying on Michael Cohen. Like, yes, he was there. He was probably in the room. Like, he knew firsthand because he was involved. But we also have the documents, the other people corroborate. We have everything to show that what he's given us is not true. I mean, obviously, hopefully, you would think they wouldn't even have brought charges based on just Michael Cohen. Like, they would have to have stuff to back it up. And that's what they're saying here. Like, you think Michael Cohen is our smoking gun, but no, like, we have all our ducks in a row to back up everything that he's saying, because we already know that you're going to try to impeach him, which is basically what they say in trial. I'm learning with you guys. So what they say in trial to mean that they are going to basically discredit the witness. So knowing that Michael Cohen could be easily impeached, they're trying to bring in people to paint a picture first of what was going on, so that when Michael Cohen comes on, it's just like, oh, we're either corroborating or like I'm bringing information that's already been corroborated. So David Pecker is basically here to tell you about how he has no animosity to the former president. As a matter of fact, he still likes him as a guy. Like, he still thinks he's the bee's knees. He thinks the world of him. But he's telling the truth about what happened. Like, this is how it went. Like, I liked him enough to help him out. They came to me. They came to me about certain stories. I would catch them. I'd kill them. The Carey McDougal, who was a Playboy playmate, her and Trump had an affair for about a year. And that was one of the ones that he and his company would catch him and pay for him. But apparently what happened when they came to him about the Stormy Daniels story, he was like, all right, now I done caught a lot of stories and I done killed a lot of stories for y'all. But once y'all get to talking about porn stars, this is where I cross. The line is crossed. This is where I throw in the towel, Tyrese. So At that point, he was like, and I'm also not a bank either. So, like, y'all think I'm about to be buying up all these stories. I ain't know this man had all these salacious stories that I had to buy. Like, when I said that, I thought maybe two or three, about 15. He didn't say that for sure, but I think that's what he was thinking, because he was like, I had to remind him, I'm not a bank. Like, this is a company. Hello, we're trying to run something here. Like, Bat Boy stories to be printed. So, I think at that point, it was like, okay, Michael Cohen had to take matters into his own hands, because what happened was Michael Cohen made these payments of like $130,000, I think it was, she got. And then he was reimbursed, and it's the reimbursements to him that are written as lawyer fees when they clearly were not. They were repayments for the Stormy Daniels payment. And once again, that's not transparent now, is it? And he's running for a federal office. So even though he is a New York resident, and they're bringing this because, you know, he was a resident of New York and that's where it was done, what they're saying is it crosses a federal line because he was a candidate for a national election. So that's how they're trying to get him on federal campaign finance laws and things like that. So that's what most of the first week was. The first actual week, starting on the 22nd, was the jury portion. So it took them a week to see a jury. And basically, that was a miss because never seen this before. So, you know, if you guys know about juries and stuff, let me know. I love to learn. But I don't know if it's just this is such a sensational case, it's such a big deal or whatever, but they were putting out lots of information on the jurors, and I don't feel like I had particularly ever seen that before. Like, they're putting out, oh, juror one works at this place or is a doctor and like lives in this area and says they know a little bit about news. But whatever the case, they were putting information out about these people. And they, on the second to last day, had actually seated about, I think, five or six jurors. But one of them came back and was like, you guys, listen, I don't think I can do this because I got friends and family texting me, asking me, based off the information that was released, if I'm a juror, like, if my identity gets out, like, I don't think I can be partial. Like, I don't think I could actually serve well on this jury because of those things. Like, I feel nervous about my safety. And so that brought into question a big, serious deal about juror safety. Not to mention, the judge had put a gag order on Donald Trump because he's been intimidating the witnesses. We're still waiting to hear if he's going to face any consequences for all of the times that he violated the gag order by talking about the witnesses, Michael Cohen. And then he tries to play the victim. Well, it's not fair because they all can talk about me and I can't talk about them. So even Michael Cohen was like, you know what? Out of respect for the lawyer, the judge, I'm not going to be saying anything else about this case until after I testify, because I respect the judge and I respect his courthouse. The former guy, he can't do that. So he's already got a gag order. He's already violated it. He hasn't gotten a response on how he's going to basically be punished for violating the gag order, which I think might be the reason why he hasn't really said anything in a while, because I think he's just nervous about what's going to happen. I think that's the judge being like, let me see if I can make them sweat a little bit. But either ways, the jurors were, that juror was nervous. And then they had another juror that they had found some kind of video or something of him, and they wanted him to like corroborate or like just talk about the video because they had some questions, and whatever question answers they got, I guess they didn't like, because they also let him go. So then at the end of that, I think it was that Thursday, they were still trying to figure out the full jury. It took to that Friday for them to get the jurors and the alternates. And as soon as the full jury was seated, a man self immolated outside of the courthouse. That means lit himself on fire outside of the courthouse. And the wonderful, the immaculate, the beautiful, the smart, the gorgeous, the amazing Laura Coates with CNN was out there at that time. And she went to work. She was on that earpiece saying what she saw, what she smelled, what she felt, all of that. It was wonderful reporting. Sad situation. It was a guy who was not for Trump or Biden, apparently had some mental health issues, believed in a lot of conspiracy theories, things like that. But that was the first week. So week went out with a bang. I hate to say it like that, but it did. And yes, so then, like I said, that was the first week. Then we had David Pecker and all of his testimony. He took up all week long. They're taking like days off. So the first 2 weeks, it was Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And then this week, they've taken off Monday. So not today. I'm recording this on a Monday. So they haven't done this. They're not in court today, but they'll be back tomorrow. After David Pecker on Friday, they only had like a couple hours. So they brought in two smaller witnesses. One of them was like the assistant. Her name was Rona Gaff. She was like Trump's assistant or something for years at, you know, his offices or whatever. She testified that she would see Stormy Daniels every now and then. She said, I just assumed that she was trying to get on Celebrity Apprentice. They had another guy. He was a banker and they were just asking him basic stuff about certain things. They're really just, the first week was not anything like any bombs going off or anything. It was just really trying to set up, this is what we did. This is how we did it. This is where, these are the people I work with. This is how I got involved. This is when I stepped back. Just to give timelines and things of that nature. So basically, like I said, the defense had the chance to cross. And when they did cross, they basically focused on really small things. But they were trying to show, they were trying to basically go against David Pecker, but they understood that he was pretty much a friendly witness. Like he, like I said he loved Donald Trump. He still had nice things to say about him. He wasn't really like upset with him or anything. He was just asked to testify about what he did, what he knew. And he's like, I'm just here to do that. Like he had no animosity against the former president. So he basically got an easy cross examination because they weren't treating him like a, you know, hostile witness or anything like that. And they basically were just trying to pick away like at some of his things. Oh, you said this, but wasn't it in fact this? Like they kind of like questioned either his memory or like whether he'd said or done something just to make him look like, to make his word look less credible. But there were minute details. Basically, all the prosecution had to do was come back, because what they were trying to show is that, like, you might not be remembering everything correctly. And also remember when Donald Trump was trying to do this for his family and not for the campaign. And then, like, remember how you said this is standard operating procedure, like you've done it before and you do it often. Like he said he had done it for Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's running for government, and like other celebrities. And he was like, yeah, you know, but then the prosecution came back and was like, okay, but yeah, have you ever paid anyone $130,000 for the story? And he's like, yeah, no. And he's like, and have any of those guys ever been running for president? And he was like, no. And they're like, and so like, you were very clear this was to help his campaign. And he was like, yeah, for sure. Because Donald Trump does not care about Melania. And I think we all know that. So yeah. So yeah, like I said, it's really no bombshells, just laying down the story, which is really smart. I don't know all the witnesses they have. Like I said, I know Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels will likely testify. I don't know if Karen McDougal will testify. It's very likely. Like I said, she had an affair with Donald Trump, I think, along the same time as Stormy, or maybe like right before. But either way, she actually had like the longer affair. She had an affair with him for like 10 months. But we really mostly only hear about Stormy Daniels just because it's so salacious what happened. And those hush money payments, like Karen McDougal got them too. But for some reason, the Stormy Daniels ones are the ones that are really the focus. So, but I think as far as charges go, Karen McDougal's payment also might be included in this case, too. And I should know that as well. I'll let you guys know for sure. But Either way, they're just trying to lay down the foundation. It's expected that this trial could be 6 to 8 weeks. It really just depends. Like, I guess it depends on how fast the prosecution flows through, how fast or how long examinations take, how many witnesses they have, how many witnesses the defense has, all of those things. If the former president can stay awake, if he'll start farting in court, oh, that's another thing. I hate I even have to talk about this. And I'm not even like a real reporter or journalist, but even I feel like this is a degradation of my work. But apparently, all of this is just super boring for Donald Trump. That first week when they were picking a jury, he was having a little trouble staying awake. Maggie Haberman at the New York Times, who was on the Trump beat when he was president, was like, well, he was in the courthouse and he was asleep. It appears he was asleep. His head kept nodding off. His jaw was loose. He was asleep. Well, next thing we know, a day or two later, it's also the former president is now farting in his sleep. He's full on taking naps in his sleep and he's farting. And his defense attorneys don't know what to do because it smells so bad. They're having trouble. This is one of those times where I wish to God, that the cameras are in the courtroom, but they're not. They're not in the courtroom. So I don't know how you guys are watching your footage, but me, I watch CNN and they are dedicated to being outside that courtroom every day, rain, sleet, snow, hot, cold, freezing. They don't care. They're committed. They have someone inside the courtroom who is feeding them updates, right? And so they have like a side chyron where they're putting updates up of what's being said or going on in the courtroom at the same time. I was like, wow, the dedication to news is why you have a news network, I guess. But anyways, that's what's going on with this case. I mean, it's going about as well as you would expect a Trump criminal case to go, right? You know, he's complaining that the police have the place locked down and his people can't get there. And that's absolutely not true. That's absolutely not true. A man was literally able to light himself on fire in front of the courthouse. Anybody can get up close to the courthouse. Like, they were like, there's no crazy special anything. Like, the courthouse is public. People can go in. If they go early enough and get in line, they can literally go watch the trial. So, no, like, the police are not keeping your people away. Your people aren't showing up. I'm sorry. Not sorry. Your people are not showing up. So, yeah, it's been a lot of lies. It's been a lot of woe is me. It's been a lot of poor me. It's so cold in this court. I should be on the campaign trail and I should be able to go celebrate Melania's birthday. Why should I have to come to court and miss my son's graduation? Now, keep in mind, this is another lie. Former President Trump asked if he could have that day off to go to Barron's graduation. And the judge said, we'll see. That's pretty far out. You know, once we get closer, I'll confirm. But he never said no. Never once said no. And you know what? Guess who doesn't get to go to special events? People who are on trial for criminal offenses. They don't get to go to special events. Normal people who are on trial for criminal offenses don't get to go to special events. So why do I need to be feeling sorry about Donald Trump? I don't. What's that video? You think I feel sorry for that? I don't. And the judge is still being lenient enough to possibly let him go. So, yeah. Anyways, if y'all support him, that's your boy. He's looking for y'all. Show up at the courthouse. Please put us all out of our misery. Either way, as I said, the trial will start up again on tomorrow, which is Thursday this week. This will probably also come out tomorrow. So today, the trial will start up again today if you have listened. So go and check it out. You know, follow people if you can. Like, if you can't actually watch coverage, there are great threads on it. There are legal scholars who are doing threads. I follow reporters from networks like Caitlin Collins and Abby Phillip on CNN, Joy Reid on MSNBC, and a lot of other different pundits who some are just all day following this, making tweets. So if you are really looking for the information, there is definitely places for you to find. If you can't find them, please reach out to me. Shoot me a DM or anything, whatever. Just say, hey, Brandy, like, I'm looking for some sources. And I'll send you some sources. So let me know. As always, thank you guys for listening, taking time out of your busy schedules to come and check in with me. I wholeheartedly appreciate it. I thank you so much for being patient with me during this break. But we back because we got a lot of news to cover because it's an election year, baby. See y'all later. Bye.